Okay, so today we are reading from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 24th chapter, text 30. This is prose rather than poetry. I'm just going to read the Sanskrit. And then we'll go on to the word-by-word translations and to the purports. Atatodhyastan rasate daitya dhanavapanyo Nama nivata kavachaha kaleya haranya puravasina iti vibhura prajanika upatya mahojaso mahasahasino bhagavata sakala lokanu bhavasya harereva tejasa pratihata palavilepa Vilesya iva vasatsanti yevai saramaye indra duchap vagvir mantra varnabir indra vivyate. So you can repeat. Tata adhyastat. Below the planetary system, Mahatala. Rasatale. On the planet called Rasatala. Datiyaha. The sons of Diti. Danavaha. The sons of Danu. Panaya Nama. Named Punnies. Nivatta Kavachaha. Nivatta Kavachas. Kaleya. Kaleyas. Hiranya Pura Vasinaha. Hiranya Pura Vasis. Iti. Thus. Vibhura Pratyanikaha. Enemies of the demigods. Upatiyaha. From birth. Mahaojasaha. Very powerful. Mahasahasinaha. Very cruel. Bhagavataha, of the personality of Godhead. Sakala loka anubhavasya, who is auspicious for all planetary systems. Harike, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eva, certainly. Tejasa, by the Sudarshana Chakra. Pratihata, defeated. Bala, strength. Avalepaha, and pride, because of bodily strength. Bila Ishayaha, the snakes. Eva, like. Vasanti, they live. Yay, who? Vai, indeed. Saramaya, by Sarama. Indraducha, the messenger of Indra. Vagbihi, by the words. Mantravarna bihi, in the form of a mantra. Indrat, from King Indra. Vibhyati, are afraid. So translation. Beneath Mahatala is the planetary system known as Rasatala, which is the abode of the demoniac sons of Diti and Dhonu. They are called Panis, Nivata Kavachas, Kalayas, and Haranya Puravasis, those living in Haranyapura. They are all enemies of the demigods, and they reside in holes like snakes. From birth, they are extremely proud and cruel, and although they are proud of their strength, they are always defeated by the Sudarshana Chakra of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who rules all the planetary systems. When a female messenger from Indra named Sarama chants a particular curse, the serpentine demons of Mahatala become very afraid of Indra. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is said that there was a good fight between the serpentine demons and Indra, the king of heaven. When the defeated demons met the female messenger, Sanama, who was chanting a mantra, they became afraid, and therefore they are living in the planet called Vasatala. So I can say a few words about this. So, Om Maganati Mirandasha, Yananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiditam, Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, as it's mentioned here in this verse, and then I'll tell the story about Sarama, which is an interesting story, that they are actually all descendants of the same family, basically, Diti and Dhanu, and they have the same father, who was Kashyapa, and the demigods also have the same father, not the same mothers, Kashyapa, of course. And so one is wondering, how is it possible for the same family to have demons and devotees? And that's an interesting question, because genetically they're very similar. Genetically means, you know, the genes, in case you haven't figured that out. But there's two things that determine whether someone is a demon or a devotee, or what one's consciousness is. One is the nature, and the other one is what we call nurture. And I'll explain what those two words mean. Nature means what you're born with. Nurture is what happens after you're born. So, as far as the nature of these demons, it's described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, especially about Diti, who is the mother of the Daichas, that when there was the, let's say, the procreation, or when there was the sex life between the parents, the parents didn't have the right consciousness. Of course, that's specifically mentioned in the story of Kashyapa and Diti, and when Haranyakashipu and Haranyaksha were procreated and eventually gave birth. That Diti was in a very lusty consciousness, and her husband went along with that. So as a result, their nature was actually demoniac. As far as demoniac is concerned, let's be a little more specific when we're talking about demoniac. Because generally, when you think of demons, you think of monsters, right? Generally. But these particular living entities, they were not monsters in one sense. They were actually quite handsome and attractive. That the only difference is they didn't worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, weren't in favor of the worship, and also Prabhatim Cha Nivartim Cha Janana Virur Asura, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. That they didn't know the proper behavior, what is to be done and what is not to be done. You know, pravati and nivritti. Pravati means what is to be done. Nivritti means what is not to be done. So because they did not know what is to be done, what is not to be done, in other words, they acted the opposite in most cases. They're called demons. But obviously, they were cultured. They weren't just like bums on the street or horrendous creatures. They had some culture. And actually, even the demons generally followed Varnashram. Just like you see that with Bali Maharaj, Shukracharya, that they follow the rules and regulations of Varnashram. So being in Varnashram doesn't necessarily mean that one is actually a devotee. There's Dvadiyak or Asuric Varnashram and Daiva Varnashram or spiritual Varnashram. So therefore, because these demons, as it's described here actually by birth, it's interesting, these personalities by birth had this demoniac, lusty mentality. That's really what we mean by demons. You know, people who are lusty, people who are greedy, lust, anger, greed, illusion, and no control of the senses. So, still, we had an interesting discussion yesterday, still at heart, they're devotees, because everybody at heart is a devotee. You know, that's the nature. But they're covered up. And the example I gave yesterday was very interesting. How one can be covered up by lust, anger, greed, illusion, and envy. Just let's say that you have some love for someone. Yesterday I gave the example that someone may love their parents, right? But then when you get angry, that love becomes forgotten, right? Even though the love is there. But when you get angry or lusty or greedy, then that love becomes covered up. And then when the last anger, greed goes away, then you revert to your original nature. Anyway, that's a demon. So by nature they were demons. And then by nurture they also were demons, because the demons have their sangha. Just like we have our satsanga, they have a satsanga. They all get together and contaminate each other. Especially on New Year's Eve. They get together and they get drunk. And of course the devotees, they get together and they have sankirtan and they talk about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satamba sangan mamavirya sambhado bhavanti vritkarna rasayana kata tajoshana dasu apavarga vartmani shradavad thirabhakti anukramishati. As it's described by devotees, they get together and talk to each other about Krishna, and in this way they become cured of the material inebrities. Whereas the demons, they get together and they make so many plans how to destroy the world. We're seeing that happen now. Especially if you read the news, you will understand what it means to be a demon. So then that's their demon sangha. And if someone associates with that demon sangha, even if they happen to have godly qualities, they also become demon. And the example of that is Grandfather Bhijma, who was not a demon, of course, but he was a Mahajan, great soul, Kripacharya, Dronacharya, many of these great personalities, because they associated with demons, and specifically Prabhupada comments, they ate food cooked by the demons. Their consciousness became polluted. Actually, they were able to be taken over, possessed by demons. And actually, that's a story of the Mahabharata I can tell. It's a very interesting story. Once upon a time, Duryodhana was captured. Duryodhana wanted to harass the Pandavas. The Pandavas were in exile. So Duryodhana, he wanted to go out with all of his opulence and queens and soldiers and everything like that, just right in front of the Pandavas, where the Pandavas were, to sort of make them feel bad. You know, just like, sometimes we really want to just like drill it into someone that we're better than them. What is that called? Insult to injury. Adding insult to injury is the English expression. So they went out. And they, the Pandavas were living by a lake at that particular point. And Duryodhana and company, they began to exhibit their opulences, but they forgot that that lake was controlled by Gandharvas. And these Gandharvas were very powerful. So, what happened is the Gandharvas captured Duryodhana and company, all of his brothers too, his 99 brothers, and nobody could do anything to save them. So Yudhisthira Maharaj said to Arjuna, you should go and save your cousin brothers. And Arjuna said to Yudhisthira, we've taken so much trouble, and the Gandharvas have done our work for us. You know, what's happening? Why should we save them? You know, the Gandharvas have, now we're free. And so Yudhisthira Maharaj said, whatever they are our cousin brothers. And so, because Yudhisthira Maharaj is known as Jata Shatru, that means he who has no enemy. That's actually a quality of a devotee. A devotee has no enemies. Although sometimes we like to see people get defeated to carry out Krishna's mission. I was just listening to a conversation this morning Prabhupada had with Shrutakirti, his servant. And Shrutakirti was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And one devotee came in and gave Prabhupada the message that Mr. Nair had died. Mr. Nair was the person who was attempting to keep us from buying the Bombay land, or Mumbai as they call it today. He was tricking us, trying to steal our money, and Prabhupada was in a continual conflict with him. And the first thing Prabhupada said was, thank you, Krishna. And then he recited a verse from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj says that, you know, Vaishnava becomes happy when an envious snake is killed. Anyway, so even though Prabhupada said that, Mr. Nair was not Prabhupada's enemy, because Prabhupada's a pure devotee. Pure devotees don't have enemies, and ultimately they pray for the benefit of other living entities. So getting back to the story, so Yudhisthira Maharaj said to Arjuna, he's our cousin brother, so you should go and save them. So Arjuna goes, and the head Gandharva was known as Chicharath. And Chicharath was a friend of Arjuna, because Arjuna had previously defeated him. And so he said, all right, I'll free him for your benefit. So what happened at that point is Duryodhana went into a deep depression. And at that time there weren't any psychologists to deal with depression, you know, to prescribe medicine. So Duryodhana was very depressed, and he thought, you know, better commit suicide, because I've been defeated by the Pandavas. I mean, this is a Kshatriya spirit. If Kshatriya is defeated, it's just like death. I mean, you see that a little bit in World War II with the Japanese, you know, if they were defeated, you know what they did? You know, if a particular Japanese person was defeated, does anyone know the story? It's called harikari. They would take a knife. You ladies don't have to listen to this. And they would take a knife and disembowel themselves. They would take a knife and actually slice out their stomachs. Now, I'm not saying that they were Kshatriyas, but that was the Kshatriya spirit. From one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death, Krishna says in the Gita. So Duryodhana, being a Kshatriya, Dvaniya Kshatriya, like I said before, the demons even followed Varnashram culture. He thought, time to die. And because he wasn't Japanese, he didn't slice out his stomach. You know, because he was Indian. The way for people to die in India, there's several bona fide ways to commit suicide in India. I guess I should tell you, but don't do it. You know, one is you just sit in a yoga position and fast till death. That's actually pretty bona fide. Another way, you know, like, what is it, Junior Haridas, you go into the Triveni and you tie some bricks to your legs and you go down. So anyway, that's bona fide. It's not that you shoot yourself. You know, there are even nice ways of committing suicide in the Vedic system. That you take a gun and shoot yourself or jump off a bridge or some stupid thing like that. So, anyway, suicide should not be there because one will become a ghost. But anyway, he was thought, my life is finished. So he sat down and got ready to leave his body. And so he was getting ready to leave his body. But at the same time, the demons didn't want him to leave his body because he had a mission. His mission was to populate the earth along with the other demons with demons. Because if you go back to this, the whole story of the Mahabharata, the reason the earth was overburdened with demoniac kings is because the demons were trying to escape from the demigods and they took shelter on the earth. That's why. And they took birth as Kshatriyas all over the earth. You know, whether you're Kamsa or Duryodhana or Jarasandha, I mean, who was Vipachitti in his previous life, or Kalanemi, who became Kamsa, they all took birth in Kshatriya families. That's why. Also, that's why Krishna... Excuse me. That's why Krishna had to kill all the Kshatriyas. Because they were all demons. That's why the battle of Kurukshetra took place. It was an interplanetary war in which the demons had to be killed. So, the demons took...
I mean, you need some water.
Material bodyitis. The demons had to take Duryodhana and give him a pep talk. You know what a pep talk is? Yeah. That means if you get discouraged. You ever see if a brahmachari gets discouraged and he wants to get married? You pull him aside and say, you don't really want to do that. You should preach Krishna consciousness, be enthusiastic. What do you want to get entangled for? You know, the brahmacharis take him aside and just like beat him and then anyway. So I'm joking about that actually. And that's called a pep talk. Go on, Sankirtan, we gotta defeat the enemy. Not defeat, preach to the enemy. Anyway, we gotta make people Krishna conscious. That's a pep talk. You know, before you do something. So the demons took him out of his body. For a pep talk. And they said, look, you have a mission. And in order to accomplish this mission, we're going to possess. You know what possession is? Demoniac possession. Wow. Just like when people get drunk, they can get possessed by ghosts. That's why ghosts go to bars. Because people are drunk there. Wherever people are intoxicated, the ghosts hang out. There's one temple that's in my GBC zone. Temple's not filled with ghosts. But anyway, it's in a city called New Orleans, which has, I think, is the most drunken people in the world. Every store is a bar. And upstairs of the bar, there's windows with all the prostitutes there. So anyway... So, when you go there, you can see the ghosts. Because they're hanging out. They're just waiting to take over people. Because they're disembodied entities that died either by committing suicide or under the influence of intoxication and they became ghosts. And they have the same desires that you and I have. But they can't fulfill them without taking over you. So you become ghostly haunted. So, anyway, so these demons, they assured they actually assured Duryodhana that we will take over Grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and anyone who's good, not Vidura. Why? Because they are eating Jai Shishi Panchatattva. They are eating impure food. Now, what is impure food? Impure food doesn't necessarily mean meat. It means food cooked by those who have impure consciousness. Because when you cook food, you affect the subtle and even a molecular structure of the food. Even the scientists understand this. There was a test that people were holding water and thinking different things. And the scientists looked at the molecular structure of the water and it changed according to their consciousness of the person. If the person was thinking, hate, 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 the water crystal looked horrible. And the person was thinking, love, you know, all you need is love. And chanting Hare Krishna. Then the water crystals were playing flutes. Anyway, so whatever. Not really. The water crystals look like the spiritual. No. They look beautiful, like little snowflakes. So it affects the conscience. So because of that association that Grandfather Bhishma had, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and they were all great devotees, they became demons. Or acted like demons. That's the point. So that's nurture. Nurture is more important than nature. It's like Prabhupada said that he was able, his greatest miracle was turning hippies into happies. So by nature, they were hippies. You don't know what a hippie is anyway. That means basically someone who doesn't take a bath for 3 or 4 weeks and has illicit sex. I mean, it's worse than the demons. At least the demons, they bathe. It's mentioned that Ravana bathed all the time. And he respected brahmanas. But these were, I mean, leches. Really, and, you know, people talk about the 1960s, how we had these anti-war rallies and everything like that. You heard about that? You know, anti-war. Well, they were just excuses for people to get together and get drunk and have illicit sex with each other. You know, just like a party. It was a party. I was there. Not, I didn't do it. I was chanting Hare Krishna. No, anyway. But it was like a party. You know, of lecha, yavana, rakshas, not even rakshas, we didn't eat people. It was a party. So Prabhupada was able, by his giving association, to change everything. So nurture is more important than nature. Very, very important point. But when people give up that good association, they revert to their previous nature. And that, of course, is the famous story Prabhupada told about Punar Mushika Bhava, right? Punar Mushika Bhava, I think you all know the story, right? No? Yes? No. Okay, I'll tell it anyway. I'll tell it again for the 10 millionth time. So once upon a time, there was a mouse. The mouse was being harassed by a cat. So he went to a sage and said, "Save me." The sage turned him into a cat. Then the cat was being harassed by a dog. And then he went to the sage and said, "Okay, become a dog." The dog was being harassed by some tiger. And he said, "All right, become a tiger." And then, there's actually more to the story. And then the tiger was being harassed by an eight-legged Sharava beast. And the sage said, "All right, you can become this beast so that you won't be harassed anymore." And then this big beast, which was previously the mouse, started to chant the prasadam prayers. You know, and looking at the sage at the same time, saying, you know, delicious, you know. So the sage said, "All right, punamurchikabhava," which means, again, become a mouse. In other words, reverting to the previous situation. So if one neglects the spiritual practices, even after coming to a higher platform, by Prabhupada's mercy, then whatever one was before, one becomes again. That's the danger. Because that's the nature. It's like a battery that you have to keep charging it. It's just like when I travel, I have to travel with extra, like, batteries for my phones and everything like that, because the battery runs out on the phone. You know, it's like an auxiliary battery because it runs out. So our consciousness is like that, because there's this nature that we were born with that's just like always like lurking in the background. It's like the demon, the shadow. Who knows? You never heard this saying? Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? No one's heard this before? Anyway. Only the shadow knows. Anyway, you wouldn't relate. That's an old movie that none of you have seen. So it's like lurking there. So when we're inattentive in our chanting or inattentive with our sadhana, complacency, then that's what happens. It comes back. The same nature. So we have to be very, very careful of that, especially those of us who were not born in Vaishnav families. Then we have to become very, very, very careful because of that nurture, association, and always keep good association and always hear from Srila Prabhupada and from devotees who are following Srila Prabhupada, and then you'll be in the safe, secure path of Krishna consciousness, and then you will become one of the serpentine demons of Mahatala, as being described here. Now, one final thing is about the story about Sarama, which is a very interesting story told in the Vedic literatures and the Puranas. Let's see if I remember all of it. Sarama was actually a dog. That may come as a shock. And so Indra sent this dog, who was actually a celestial dog, not like one of these chihuahuas, or, you know what a chihuahua is? A little tiny dog that people keep in their pocket. So it was like one of these chihuahuas or German shepherds or whatever types of dogs you have here. Westerners are very addicted to dogs. And I figure that's because, actually I've seen it recently, because they have a need for love. People have a need for love. People in India too. I was just in Mumbai and people are walking on the beach with the dogs, showing off their dogs. They have dog shows in India too. So I just saw it in our temple in the United States in New Goloka. Someone dropped off a dog at the temple. And because the dog came to the temple, you have to take care of the dog, right? You can't neglect. If someone has taken shelter of you, can't neglect. Even Yudhisthira Maharaj, when he was going to the heavenly planets, or going to go to the heavenly planets, and they wouldn't take him, and a dog was following, they wouldn't take him because he had a dog there, he refused to go because he didn't want to neglect the dog. So someone dropped off a dog. And the devotees fell in love with him. You know, even I was thinking, boy, finally I have a friend. Because he would follow me everywhere while I was chanting japa, Hare Krishna, the dog would go. Like that. I was thinking, oh, you better be careful. Next life I'm going to become a dog if I'm not careful. So, I was seeing what happened to Bart Maharaj, you know, similar thing, you know. You get attracted by someone who's just like serving you. Because you can you can control someone by service. And of course that's mentioned that in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned Lord Vishnu tells Durvasa Muni that actually I'm controlled by my devotees. So anyway, so this Sarama is not an ordinary dog, celestial dog. Not one of these earthly dogs. So Sarama is sent by Indra, female dog, sent by Indra to try to find a cow that was stolen by the demons. Let's see, specifically, the Punis. That's a demon. The Punis. And Sarama, because it's a celestial dog, she's able to chant these mantras that glorify Indra and threaten the demons. And the demons run away, and I guess she was able to take back the cow. It's an interesting story from the Puranas about... So in the heavenly planets, even the dogs, they can speak, and they can carry out missions for Indra. So that's a story that's related to this particular verse and purport. So, any questions or comments about anything we said? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, complaints? Yes?
Demon consider himself sometimes guilty.
Yes.
He consider himself a guilty person, a demon?
Well, guilty in the sense that he's not worshiping Krishna. Yes, if he has good association. Like Bali Maharaj, and sometimes, let's go back a little bit. Sometimes someone is considered a demon because they're born in a demon family, but they're devotees. Like Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj, you know, he did feel guilty. I mean, it happens sometimes when someone has good association that one feels guilty about what they did before. Actually, it's with devotees that happens sometimes that, you know, we may feel guilty. You know, I hurt this person or I ate meat before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So that feeling of guilt is good, although one should not become depressed because of it. You know, it's not that you're feeling, oh, I'm so fallen, I ate so much meat, oh, I'm a demon. And then you sit down with the other devotees and say, let me tell you about all the sinful activities I did before I joined the movement. All the brahmacharis are around, sitting around in a circle. Let's hear about all your sinful activities. Wow, this is exciting. More exciting than Krishna Katha. So, not that we should do that. We don't want to dwell on it, but we do feel guilty for what we did before, yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully I'm not still a demon. But the demons do feel guilty about doing certain things. The demons even know philosophy. They're cultured people. We find Hiranyakashipu, after Hiranyaksha, his brother, was killed, was preaching to his family member Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Isn't it? Not the whole Bhagavad Gita. He left out Bhagavan out of the Bhagavad Gita. He left out Krishna. But as far as the philosophy, you're not the body, you know, things are temporary in this material world, the time factor is there. That's what he was preaching. So the demons, they were intelligent, philosophical, cultured. Only one thing was wrong. They didn't like Krishna. Ishwaraham aham bhogi, siddoham balavan sukhi. That was their mantra. That's in the Bhagavad Gita, that mantra. The demon mantra is actually in the Bhagavad Gita. Because Krishna is actually telling us what the demons think. He says, Ishwaraham, I am the controller. Instead of Ishwara Panama Krishna, Ishwaraham, I'm the controller, and then Aham Bogi, instead of Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. You see the contrast. Humbugui, sit oh hum, I'm powerful. Balavan, I'm happy. Like sometimes you find people who are in Maya saying, I'm happy. Oh. And you look at their faces. You don't look happy. And sometimes when devotees fall into Maya, they say, I've never been happy in Krishna consciousness. But then I remember, like last week, they were smiling and in ecstasy and everything. But that's Maya. It covers you up. I have to be happy, I have to be my real self. and go out and enjoy my senses. I mean, you go to a bar and watch the people. Look at the faces. And see, do they look happy? And last night I was looking at the faces of the devotees, not at a bar, but here. And everybody was smiling. And looking at the film about the Sankirtan, everybody had a big smile on. And take a picture of the people going to work in the morning in a van, like the devotees were going. And see if they're smiling. Oh, we're going to work. Oh, it's so wonderful. Right? But, I mean, that was an amazing film. I mean, of course, I couldn't understand the Slovenian, but I could understand the smiles. They were, the devotees, you were all happy. Wow. What have you been smoking? I want some of that. Now, I remember when we used to go on Sankirtan in the early days of the movement, we couldn't even go to sleep at night. We were so happy. Isn't it? After the marathon, it was, you come back after a full day of book distribution, you come back, it's, wow, you're shaking in ecstasy. Wow, wow, wow. And it is, and then you dream about book distribution night, isn't it? And it's just like the whole day becomes immersed in the Vishuddha Sattva, I mean the complete ecstasy. So you see. And then, anyway, so that's happiness. So, any other questions? Yes.
You were mentioning poverty and
Nivrti.
I'm a bit confused because we are doing poverty but following Nivrti.
Well, that's a different context. Yeah. Let me explain it. Words are defined according to the context in which they're in. So the word poverty basically means things to be accepted. Nivritti means things to be rejected. Okay, vritti can mean turning and also the path, you know, vart. So so when we're talking about ordinary rules and regulations, in other words, dharma, then we're doing poverty, that means the things to be accepted. And, you know, things that are dharmic. And we're giving up a dharma or vidharma. We're giving up things that go against the dharma. But as far as... excuse me. As far as our Krishna consciousness is concerned, we're trying to be, as far as possible, on Nivritti Marg rather than poverty Marg. Because the poverty Marg in spiritual life means to the path of enjoyment, of accepting more and more, not necessarily serve Krishna, but just enjoying in this world and being a devotee like a demigod. In other words, not being on the path of renunciation. And Nivritti Marg means trying to give up gradually, reducing our bodily necessities, reducing our entanglement in this material world. That's Nivritti Marg. So generally, we're trying to be following Nivritti Marg. Although, Pravati Marg is necessary because people have certain material needs. But, in other words, Pravati Marg means that you have a license for sense gratification. We give you a license. And, you know, what do I mean by that license? You can eat prasadam and enjoy yourself while you're eating prasadam. But guess what happens? If you eat too much prasadam, what is it? Pacho vegam, anasakrodan vegam, jiva vegam, udhura bhashta vegam. Then your belly becomes full, too full. And the other desires develop, the lower desires develop. In other words, if one eats too much, even prasadam. The Prabhupada said many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Mahaprasadam. What does it mean? In in the name of Mahaprasad. In other words, they give them a whole plate of sweets and they eat everything on the plate. You honor Mahaprasadam, but there's no injunction that you have to eat every little bit of Mahaprasadam that's given to you. You should share it with the devotees. Unless it happens to be Mahaprasadam from Prabhupada's plate. I never shared it with anybody. I robbed it, stole it, took it, ate everything on the plate. But that's a little bit different. I even ate the grape stems and the orange peels when it was on Prabhupada's plate. So, on the Pravriti Marg, there's danger. I mean, for example, household life is considered Pravriti Marg. So, because you have a license for sense gratification. But a license doesn't mean an unlimited license. Just like you get a license to drive a car, right? They have licenses here in Slovenia? It's not like in India you just get your license by giving a bribe, did you know? No test, nothing. You don't have to know anything. You just say, well, here's a few hundred thousand or whatever it is, rupees. So you get a license. Okay. So you're driving your car on the motorway, and let's say you're not in Germany, you go 150 kilometers an hour here in Slovenia. What's the speed limit here? 130? Okay, so let's say you go 180, and the police pull you over. Does that ever happen? Yeah. Anyone here ever gotten a ticket? Where's one, two, three, four? I got a ticket. So, not Slovenia. And so you pull out your license and say, I have a license. See my license? And the policeman will say, yes, I see your license, and you're getting a ticket. But you say, I have a license. I say, the policeman says, I know you have a license, but it's not an unlimited license. You got to still follow the rules. So even Pravriti Marg, there's rules. Prabhupada said there's danger even on the royal path. So one has to be very careful. Don't eat too much. And, you know, if one is a householder, there's rules and regulations in household life, too. So we generally... So in other words, we try to emphasize as much as possible Nivriti Marg, although we do have allowances for sense gratification. But not too much. Just like you may need a soft cushion to lie on at night. But not super soft. Now that when I was young, we had this story we learned, the princess and the pea. Anyone know this story? She wanted super soft. She had like, what, 100 mattresses or something like that? And there was one pea underneath all the mattresses. And she couldn't sleep at night. Is that the right story? So we shouldn't be like the brahmachari and the bee, you know. Big, soft bed. I mean, sometimes I go to a temple and they give me this bed that's as big as the temple. No, almost. I said, what do you think I am? So, you know, we just, within moderation, mityahara viharasya. One cannot become a yogi if he eats too much, sleeps too much, etc. Mityahara, that's the middle path. So, yes, we do have some Pravriti Marg, but generally we're trying to become renounced. Not as renounced as the Goswamis. Nijahara, Vihara. You know, giving up eating, giving up sleeping. Can't do that. Just go on Sankirtan. Any other questions? Quick questions? Time for prasadam? Yes.
You mentioned before that the demoniac way of thinking is under control.
Yeah.
So this new age kind of philosophy where you actually learn your spiritual bridge, what you're thinking is about to happen.
Yeah.
That's also the demoniac way?
That's part of the... I wouldn't say they're demons, but that's part of the demoniac consciousness. That was brought out in a book several years ago called The Secret. Anyone's heard of that book before? Where you can make your own path, make your own life, and whatever you're thinking of, the universe is meant to serve you. Like that. And there was a movie about that I saw. Actually, I saw the movie because I was interested. That it showed people who wanted certain things. One man wanted a sports car. And he meditated on it. He was sitting in his chair shifting the gears, dreaming about it. And then he wakes up one morning, there's a sports car outside of the house. Another boy wanted a bicycle, and the same thing happened to him. Anyone seen that movie? Yeah. So you've seen the movie. So it's not exactly the way it is. I mean, one sense, if you have good karma, yes, what you want, you'll get. That's true. If you have good, it depends on the karma, so it depends on that factor. But yeah, that's modern. One sense, part some of the New Age people think like that. Basically, that came from existentialism. It's a little outgrowth of existentialism, where you can create your own path, your own life, your own morality, and everything like that. There's no ultimate control. So that's one of the demoniac aspects of consciousness. I'm the controller. You learn very quickly as you get older, you're not the controller. You look at your, just look at the body. You know, I can say that from first-hand experience. If I was the controller, I would look like all of you. You know, young man, just with a lot of energy. If I was the controller, but I'm not. I'm not the controller of anything. I can't even control my body. I can't control the heart. I can't control the digestion, anything in the body. I mean, at best I can control my two arms and my two legs. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was asked how many disciples he has, he said, I have four, my two arms and two legs. But sometimes even they don't listen to you. You know, people get paralyzed. You know, we're dependent on Krishna. I mean, what happens if you have an accident and you get paralyzed? You can't even control your arms or legs or anything like that. Like there's one famous scientist who's he's an atheist, but he's completely disabled. He can only control things with his mouth, isn't it? And he's against God. He's thinking, I'm the controller. That's pretty foolish. So I'm controller, I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. Krishna's in control. I mean, we have to put some effort. It's not that we sit back in our chairs and say, you know, Krishna, let Krishna distribute the books this year on Sankirtan. It's not that Ananta Prabhu did that. He said, Krishna's in control. I'm going to sit back and chant Hare Krishna today. No, he organized things. And therefore, there's five factors in action. But ultimately, it's up to Krishna. Krishna is the overseer and the permitter. Okay? So now it's time for prasadam, because it's part of our pravritti marg. Who's supposed to do? All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.